Annyeonghaseyo! Welcome to Afternoona Delight, where Leah, Megan, and Amy, romance novelists and your K-romance guides. So grab some dekboki and listen to your new favorite unease.
Hey, everybody.
Hello.
Hi there. Fourth person, say
hi
hello.
Hi there.
So I missed my mark. I'm sorry. I've already messed this whole thing up. I'm just going to hang up. No, please don't. Please don't leave.
We have a special fourth guest tonight,
whose voice you can probably tell from everybody else's, we're hoping. But we'll see. So welcome to the podcast, Jen Blackwood. We are so excited that you are here. Jen. Yay. And the three of us go way, way back to the very baby beginning of our writing days. I think Leah and Jen, you connected first, correct?
This is true. I was thinking about this and I met Jen first in 2012.
Right? Oh, no. Wow.
Yeah.
It was earlier.
It was 2011, I believe. Oh, actually, okay. Summer of 2012. You're right.
Okay. Summer 2012, Anaheim, California, at the Romance Writers of America National Conference. We were both first-time conference attendees. You were like 12.
Did we meet in the lobby? We met in the lobby.
Out of middle school.
I don't remember how we met, honestly. I just remember that you were freshly born and still had placenta on you.
She still looks freshly born. Like, you still look like you the same you did 10 years ago.
I do not, but thank you. We were I appreciate that, Megan.
Yeah.
We were pitching our first books, which neither saw the light of day, and we were trying to get an agent, and we were trying to figure out how writing was going to work. And I remember very interestingly, I think you had maybe just gotten married.
No, you just had.
Yeah.
Did you,
I was she married. Did not
you didn't, have, you didn't have a kid yet. No, you didn't have a kid yet.
Okay. But you were like, mm-hmm. Oh, I would like to have a kid. And I remember giving you some very, very sage advice. Which
no,
was,
can I tell you the advice that
yes,
Leah gave
do.
Me? Yes. I remember this very clearly. We were sitting at lunch, I believe. We're eating, which, you know, at RWA, you eat a lot. But we were sitting down for lunch and I was telling Leah, I'd been married for a year. I'm ready to have a kid. And she turned to me and goes, no, you're not. No, you don't want kids yet.
And I was like, oh. Because I'm really polite.
That's such a Leah thing to do. Like, no, you're not.
And then I got pregnant like 2 months later.
I know, but you're like, surprise, I am having a baby. I'm like, great. I support you. I was just like, I had written my very first book the year before, about like in the year and a half before we met. So like between the middle of 2010 and 2011, I'd written my first book and it was when I had just had my second child. And so I was just kind of like, I had two kids under two at home and was just like, what the fuck is going on. And so when like you were like all like bright eyed, like, and I'd like to be, I was like, you just have some, like, you just live for a minute. Like, you just have that minute. You deserve it.
And two kids under two is rough.
So I can't even imagine.
I want to, before we really get going, I want to give Jen's like official bio here. So everybody knows who she is and where they can, you know, where they can maybe learn more about you. So Jen Blackwood is a copywriter and USA Today bestselling author of contemporary romance. She lives in the Pacific Northwest, where she fully embraces locally brewed coffee, dabbles in the occasional axe throwing, and is firmly anti-umbrella. When not writing, she enjoys going on walks with her puppy, cheering too loud at her son's sports events, and playing disc golf with her real-life romance hero.
Aww.
Aww, that's
like
very
the most
sweet.
Portland biography ever.
It is. I really Pacific leaned Northwest. Into it. I made that bio today, so I was like, you know, I just need to freshen
update
it up.
Yeah,
so
update that website now.
Yeah, I kind of like it. I think I'm going to keep it.
So wait, just you don't like umbrellas?
It's a very Pacific Northwest thing, Megan.
To just walk around in the rain and not use an umbrella? Really?
Correct. You're you're a tourist if you walk around with an umbrella. It's a thing. So we have lots of rain gear, and we do not use umbrellas here.
But you use a hood, right? Like if it's raining, you'd put your hood up?
Yeah, but that's not an umbrella.
So you're wearing an umbrella.
So we cannot do K-dramas in the Pacific Northwest because umbrellas play a very important
umbrellas
role.
Umbrellas are like a trope.
Well, they could be a tourist, though. They could be a tourist.
This is true.
They could be. They're visiting. So
yeah. Because everyone, I mean, we had a hero with a rain phobia. Legit. Yeah, he had
two.
A phobia.
We've had two rain phobias. I mean, I'm sure they're not the only two, but two that we know of. But in K-drama, it is one of the first romantic gestures is when the heroine, for some reason, is caught in the rain. And all of a sudden the rain stops and she looks up and the hero is holding an umbrella over her head.
It's true.
That's really sweet. I feel like that's very chivalrous. I could get on board with that.
Yes.
But I'd still judge them a little bit if they were
in Portland. If it happened in Oregon.
In the Pacific Northwest, it would be like, here I have a jacket with a hood. Would you like
Thank
this,
you. Yes. I would very much appreciate if it's, you know, Columbia, I'm all for that. You know, nice little Columbia jacket. I'm here for it.
I have no umbrella, but I do have this craft beer.
I do have this IPA.
You could entice a lot of people here with that.
I believe it.
Yeah.
So now that we've gotten some of our introductions together, I'm excited to tell some embarrassing stories before we get into it, because I was thinking, well, I haven't seen Jen's face in a really long time. So we have like writer chat groups that we're in, but they're all like tech, they're all messaging chats. So I haven't seen, I mean, I think maybe we did some cocktail hours during COVID, during like the height of COVID. We did a little Zooming, but it's been a minute.
Yeah.
But the last time we were together as humans
in hotel rooms together.
Yes. Was it 2018 or 19? 18, I believe.
I think it was 18. It was DC, right? It was a
PolyCon book signing. Yes. So Megan had a different room. Jen, Amy, and I were all roommates with another writer friend, Chanel. I remember a few. So I don't know. Where do we begin?
So we had adjoining rooms. We had adjoining rooms. And Leah and Jen shared a bathroom.
And so there was.
And Chanel and I shared a bathroom.
I like how you have to specify that.
Yes. Yes.
So shared bathroom. I'm just going to guess. I'm going to get to like, we're going to have like this and then we're going to bring it in Megan, because there were two funny stories that happened on this trip that like make me laugh frequently.
I
like when I'm just like going about
night,
my day.
And one was just before we went out and then we got in the Uber with Megan and it kept going.
Yeah. So sometimes I'm just like riding my bike and I'll start laughing thinking about these.
This is my Roman Empire. It really is. Yeah.
The first one was I shared a bathroom with Jen and we like, you know, you get ready in the bathroom, you do whatever in the bathroom, but you also like go to the bathroom of the bathroom.
You do.
And I like to be polite when I go to the bathroom and I have kind of like a leave no trace policy, much like camping. Like I don't want to like make anybody feel as if like they've entered a space and then have to like deal with any aftermath that I've like created. So what
I appreciated
did for this
that, Leah. It was very kind of you. So kind.
It was thoughtful. So I had peppermint essential oil. And I thought, what I will do is I will put some peppermint essential oil in the toilet bowl to brighten up the atmosphere in here. Because I'm a giver, because this is what ladies do. We're not monsters.
I don't even know this story, but I know where it's going.
We're not animals. I'm like, I will leave this. It's going to feel like you are stepping into like a wintry, cold, like, yeah, spearmint commercial splash spa. Okay. But I did not tell Jen. I just like, I didn't feel like there was a need. I just was like being courteous and then like living my life. And a little while later, we hear some screaming. And Jen, I'll let you take it from what happened to you.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it because I want to tell my side of the story before you think I'm some weird, like, weirdo who sits on the toilet while they flush. Because normally I do not. I get up off the toilet and I flush. But I want to preface this with, there was no lid for this toilet, okay? And the toilet was right next to the vanity where all of our toothbrushes were, all of that. And I was trying to be considerate in my own way. And I was like, I will take one for the team and sit on the toilet
lid
while I flush. And this was like, I don't know if it was an airline level evacuation of the toilet, but like stuff.
It was a powerful toilet.
It was a powerful toilet. It was so powerful. But it definitely sprayed a lot of peppermint to places where peppermint should not go.
I'm crying right now.
Me trying to save our toothbrushes from having fecal matter or toilet crud on them. Okay. So, and there was a burning so fierce
that you could have heard the scream. It was like,
And this is literally like, we're getting ready to leave. Like, everybody's just doing their last minute things. We're getting ready to go out and go to dinner.
And because we're good friends, and Jen's like, why is it burning? I just start laughing really hard.
Because nobody knows what Leah has done at this point.
Courteously.
Yes.
You're too courteous. You're too courteously is crisscrossed in a very bad way.
Yes, very much.
It's very bad.
The other thing I'm just noticing as Jen tells this story is that I'm not actually sure how courteous I was then, because I'm pretty sure I was spraying water and fecal matter everywhere, because otherwise I would have been a victim of my own success. Anywho.
Yeah.
So Jen joins us, you know, calloused and battle scarred, but, you know, she makes it. And we all get into the Uber that Megan joins us in to go have dinner. Mm-hmm. And I had become really obsessed with my Uber rating. My Uber rating was like a 4.9 or something. And I was like very proud of the fact, because at that point I was really invested in Uber conversations. I have stepped away from this, but I used to talk to my Uber drivers a lot. I would get a lot of stories from the Uber drivers, and I felt like I would be rewarded by a high ranking.
Right. But we went to dinner first. So like, let's just say we had a few drinks. Not like we were in no way inebriated, but we definitely had a few drinks. Cause this
Did
conversation.
We go down to the bar first. Is that it? We went down to the bar and then we took the Uber.
I thought this was when we took the Uber home, but maybe not.
I don't remember which way it happened. We were in an Uber and my Uber rating dropped as a result of what happened. Okay. Megan, take it away with what happened.
Well, I don't even know how we got on the thing. I had a few drinks, and so I was just, I get even more talkative.
But there were always stories about
your daughter when she was little. So, yeah, my daughter, she's still a handful, but when she was a lot younger, she got into a lot of, like, antics. Like, she was just always getting into things. She put razor blades in my son's bed.
She locked you out of the house. She locked goldfish watching you from the window.
Yeah, like she knew very well she could let us in the house. She didn't give, even though she was three, she still knew. Yeah, locked us out of the house. She drew all over the walls. So it was like this big joke that Amy was always like, Megan, why do you still have Sharpies in your house? And I'm like, I don't know. She finds them. I don't know where she's finding Sharpies, but she finds them. So the latest.
She's shoplifting them from Target.
The latest.
But none of this is what ruined Leah's rating.
Right. So we're in the Uber. And I'm like squeezed in the back seat, and I'm telling everyone about how I walked into the bathroom where my cat's water bowl was, and I noticed something in it, and I thought it was like one of their toys, because, you know, cats like dunk toys. But I was telling them how, no, my daughter shit in the cat. In the cat's water bowl. It was her.
And she wasn't like a toddler. She wasn't a baby.
No, she was like three or four. She just squatted over the cat's water bowl and thought that that was where she should leave her poop. And I'm telling them this. And I could tell the Uber driver is traumatized. He is. And I don't think I realize it. I fully respect Uber drivers. But
he
again,
hasn't
I had
a
few drinks.
Yet.
Yeah. And I don't think he, and to me, I was like, this is just another story about my daughter that like the girls have heard a million times, like meaning they've heard all her antics,
right.
But I don't think I fully grasped.
For the Uber driver, that was his first one, and it might not have been the one to start with.
He was booking his vasectomy after dropping us off.
Yeah, so you know what? I birth control for that guy.
Yeah. He, like, picks up these girls, fun on the town. Woo! Let's talk about our kids shitting in the cat's water. Woo!
What a wild night!
Yeah, so my Uber rating the next day was a 4.89, which was like I got a zero.
Devastating. So devastating.
I was pissed. I was legitimately pissed.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'll never do that again.
No, it was funny.
And that's when Leah broke into Megan's room and put peppermint oil in her toilet.
Yeah, no. That's when she shit in my water.
Yeah. Next level.
So, if you're still listening,
we folks, are going to talk about K-dramas, really.
But we just had to give you the setup that we have been through intimate situations together for people who don't see each other very often. Because I think this is what happens when, like, the people who don't know how online friendships work so much, when you do meet, you feel like you know each other pretty well. So, like, you can get comfortable with these people really quickly, even if you've only met them a handful of times.
Oh, I mean, 100%. Because I'm not telling, well, I just told everyone who listens to our podcast that my daughter shit in the cat. Normally, that's not the first thing that's I tell people.
Unless it's an Uber driver.
Unless it's an Uber driver. I mean, but yeah. So it was, I know. And you guys were, I mean, we were all laughing. It was definitely a good time.
It was funny.
Yes.
Until her rating dropped. And then I did feel bad.
But so I have a very, go ahead.
I was just going to say, this just goes to show that like, people that like anybody out there who has met people online and feels weird calling like your online friends, your friends, we all met online. And yes, now we see each other, you know, in real life when we can, but we are, you know, this on this screen right now that nobody can see, but on this podcast right now are three of the people that like I love most in this world. And we met on Facebook and Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Or a writing conference.
And, you know, we have patrons who have now met in person and listeners of this podcast who have met in person now. They've met like through the podcast, which I think is amazing. And that friendship is valid and real as any other.
Yeah. And I would say, so something I had a realization of yesterday was I feel like if you listen to this podcast or like you're one of you, or like somebody that like I deal with like writing, like who are like in my writing chat groups. Like, I feel like you know who I am. Like, I feel like I'm pretty authentic to who I am. At work, I don't tend to show like myself very frequently. Like, I think people at work probably think I'm like very quiet. I don't talk a lot. Yesterday, I lost my shit in a meeting, like fully lost it, like straight up like I would on like the podcast for the first time ever in a situation that nobody else remarkably found even remotely funny. So I'm just going to give the very quick highlights and then we'll move on because it was goddamn hilarious in my eyes. We were in a meeting and it was like kind of like, what's your wish? I'm going to just like condense the boring part. Like, what's your kind of like wish list for things you want to have in your area? And basically I was just making a point that in our area, we would like to have like a cart that people could drive so they don't drive their own cars. And it could be electric. And because we have a very big spread out area, like, that covers miles that people have to get around and often people have to drive and park. That's the boring part. And I was like, so I just like an ETA, I'm like, when can we kind of expect the cart thing to happen? And the lady who was running the meeting was like, oh, well, I've heard that those are on back order for 10 to 15 years. And I was like, oh, okay. I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm like, I think you miss, I'm like, you mean months? And she was like, no years. And I was like, you mean like a generational cycle? And I cracked myself up. I just burst out laughing. I was like wheezing on Zoom. I had to turn the camera off and the sound off because I couldn't stop. I was.
And nobody else was laughing at that?
It was like the most Office Space moment. If anyone remembers that movie, I felt like I was like the guy with the stapler in the basement.
Yeah.
But I was dying. And I was like, this is people actually seeing me for who I am, which is unhinged. And being like, tell me again out loud. And I was like, I need to stop. I cannot show this side of myself in the workplace.
Honestly, I would have laughed that hard at 10 to 15 years.
10 to 15 years, and somebody's saying it like seriously. Well, those are on back order for 10 to 15 years. How do you say that with a straight face?
I don't know. I was at a loss for it. I was like, this feels like a very solvable problem. But I'm going to
a new company. Something.
Yeah.
Are you talking like a golf cart?
Like an they're called, I think it might be the brand. I don't want to name the brand online or, you know, here, but there's a brand.
Yeah, so they have major delays. You don't want that brand. So
yeah, it's not quite a golf cart, but golf cart adjacent. But honestly, like a cursory Google showed me there were other options. And I was like, in my mind, I was like, I shall write a grant. I shall secure this. I have to make my own way in this world, I think. But it was just like the fact nobody else really was like, everyone else, like nobody might have like laughed. They might have thought it was silly, but like I felt really weird that I was like, how is no one else like peeing their pants? Like I was literally pissing myself, and I don't react very much in any meetings. I'm very like, okay, like,
I love quiet that you said in the corner. A generation.
Yeah. I mean, I was like 15 years is a generational cycle, yeah. Legitimately.
That is. That's crazy.
I was like, am I retirement party? Yeah. Am I retirement party? Am I gonna be like, y'all
got the cart?
Close the loop. We got it. We did it together. We have a cart.
So here, like, let me
duct tape Leah to the chair.
Yeah, I just want to say before we logged on tonight, because Jen hasn't done this before, and she texted me and said, you know, do I just log on right at 5:30 because I need to test my mic and stuff. And I said, don't worry, we're not recording right away. And I said, Leah always has technical difficulties. And then we log on and I'm the one who like is causing the echo. I have to change my headphones, whatever. So I'm just happy that I was not wrong.
And I was being really smug.
I
was like, it's not me. I was being kind of an asshole. So karma's a bitch. I should have known better.
Oh, stop. Do not get that in my head. I swear to God.
I can't get that song out of my head.
It's such an earworm. And I was at my daughter's field hockey tournament like last weekend. And there was like another field hockey team that was like in the bleachers directly behind me. And they were singing that loudly, like screaming it. And like my son and I just looked at each other and we're like, oh, no, because I knew it was going to get stuck in my head.
It's very obnoxious. And if anyone lives in Milpitas, California, last week, if you saw preteen girls screaming it out of a minivan, I was enabling them to do that. I rolled all the windows down and let them scream it as loud as they wanted to out of the windows of the car. And I don't know if people really appreciated it, but they led their best lives.
I'm glad.
I used to do that as a kid. My parents totally enabled it. I remember, I don't know if you all, I hope this is okay to mention. I remember going to my first concert, which was Britney Spears.
Yes.
And in the late 90s, it was very common to like get people to honk and say like honk if you're horny or whatever. So we had made signs that said honk if you're horny. And now I'm like, I would not let my 10-year-old daughter be holding this up to truckers.
Oh my God.
Your parents are like, it's okay.
Who allowed me to do that? My parents. I don't know. The 90s were a wild time.
Very much so. I can't believe you saw Britney in concert. That's pretty bad.
I know. That is amazing.
Britney and NSYNC. And
original Britney and NSYNC. Nice.
Yeah, like at their prime.
OG. Yes.
Ugh, I'm jealous. That would have been awesome. Well, we're not here to talk about NSYNC and Britney.
I'm sorry.
No. Sorry. We're just trying to reel Derailed. It. We're trying to reel it
we're
in.
Trying,
we have no.
We're trying to segue.
Yeah, we have no segue.
But we have no segue. But
well, you know what's awesome?
Yeah.
What's awesome is 90s Britney, and what's awesome is Jen.
Mm-hmm.
And what's awesome is K drama.
That's the worst that was, we've ever done.
What I've never heard a worse segue ever in my life.
I'm usually the one with the bad segues, but that's pretty good.
Look, let's just get to it. Okay, everybody knows what this episode's about because it says it in the show notes. So we invited Jen to basically try and lure her over to the Hallyu side. And in doing that, we wanted to give her a K-drama to watch that we thought would, like, you know, check all her boxes for what she wanted. Before we get to talking about what drama we had her watch, though, I wanted to ask Jen, like, what is your experience with K-drama or just Asian drama in general before receiving your assignment of semantic error? Because I do believe You watched Meteor Garden, didn't you?
I did. I watched Meteor Garden, which I thoroughly enjoyed. You know, teen angst is one of my favorite things. So I, as a former middle school teacher, you know, I'm always here for the drama and the angst. And I also have watched Business Proposal, which I also really, really loved. I don't know if EXO Kitty really counts as a K-drama.
I would say that it's up there. Because, like, when I was watching it with my daughter, and my daughter doesn't watch K-dramas, and I'm watching it with her, I'm like, this is a K-drama. I'm like, Jenny Han had them make this a K-drama, and I'm so here for it.
It's, yeah. K-drama adjacent, at least.
Okay. I really enjoyed that series as well. But I really don't get a lot of time to watch things myself. During the day, I just don't have any time because I work. And then in the evening, I am busy carting my son around to sports practices. And then by the time I sit down, it's 8 o'clock at night and I'm just, you know, sitting down with my husband for the first time. And so usually we try to watch like something that we both enjoy. So compromising. I don't think that I have swayed him yet to watch K-dramas. Maybe in the future. But most of the time we're watching sitcoms or cop procedurals. So stuff like Brooklyn Nine-Nine and Ted Lasso, Young Sheldon, and then, you know, FBI, Bosch, CSI, stuff like that. So I haven't had a lot of experience with watching K-dramas just because I really don't have any time to myself.
Yeah.
Maybe in 7 years when my kiddo graduates, I might, or when he starts driving, which is a scary thought as well. But yeah, that's the extent of my prior knowledge and experience with both Asian and K-dramas.
It is really hard to carve out time for yourself. And I totally get that. I have a local friend who I've turned on to K-dramas. But every time I check in with her, I'm like, what episode are you on? She's like, I haven't had a chance to watch an episode this week. And I totally get that. Like, she's got a husband, she's got two kids. Like, you know, not all of us have the luxury of, and I joke when I say luxury, of having teenage kids who want to go and do their own thing and don't want to be around you all the time. So that I can kind of carve out that time for myself. But yeah, it is.
Do you go to bed at a responsible time?
I do. So
I have a feeling you're.
Yeah, I was like, that's well, Jen.
It is not my doing. So my husband is a very light sleeper. And so if I went to bed later than him, I would wake him up, and he's one where he does not do well on lack of sleep or getting interrupted sleep. And so I'm trying to be conscientious, you know, like peppermint asshole. This is, you know, just my love language is being conscientious to people. And so I go to bed at around 10:30. So that doesn't really give me much time to, you know, watch anything. I know if it were up to me,
I don't even know what that's
probably,
like.
Yeah. What is
yeah. If it were up to me, I'd probably go to bed around 11:30, but that just doesn't happen.
I mean, I'm in bed early, but I'm not falling asleep. I'm like watching, I'm reading or I'm watching K-dramas. And this is the thing, it's super sweet that you and your husband watch TV together. I don't know the last time.
That's
legitimately do not know the last time my husband and I sat down and watched a show together because we watch completely different things. First of all, he just rewatches, he's watched Breaking Bad 6 times. I don't want to watch Breaking Bad 6 times. I've never even watched it one time. So not that there's anything wrong with Breaking Bad, but I've said on this podcast before, I'm not like a rewatcher. I'm not like a anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, I just found this new show. It's called Killing Eve. And I was like, that's great, Neil, although that's been out for
It's not a new show. It just came on Netflix. It's new on Netflix.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
You know what? I really relate to Neil because I am always 10 years behind the trend on things. So I can relate to that.
Yeah. So anyway, so we watch stuff on our phones. Like our TV only comes on for sporting events. We do watch sporting events together. That's what we watch together. but we don't watch shows together. We just have completely, like, he likes, like, yeah, like procedurals and stuff. And I just can't, I can't do, I don't even really watch a lot of K-drama procedurals. So it's just not my
thing. So do you and Neil, do you and Neil talk to each other
when you're at home? No. Well, we do both work from home.
So you see each other all day.
Okay.
Well, but I don't like it.
I'm like, go away.
Look, no,
I've developed, it's fine. So I, same. Well, I have everyone. So we occasionally, we watch Three Body Problem together, and we've watched, we're almost done with Shogun. The last episode just dropped and we have to finish it. So we'll occasionally watch something. Nick would like to watch shows all the time. I am an asshole and I'll be like, I'm sorry, I'm not going to. But I've developed a way because I was like, look, I need to do something that fits within what I have the availability to do. And I want you to all know that I have dug deep and I have found something that's working. And I think that at least some of you will find it funny. What I do to show love now is I send Nick dog reels on Instagram. Oh my God,
I bet he loves that. We do that too. My husband and I send each other dog reels all the time.
I bet he does.
That's my kids and I. We send each other cat reels all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm okay to not get them.
But, like, this is how I'm showing
you. Do you look at the ones he sends?
Yeah. Mine are better.
Do you just respond LOL and that's it?
Oh, for sure.
No, she
sure
just double taps to heart it.
Yeah.
I do the heart.
The bare minimum.
I do funny things. Yeah. Like, here is a beaver eating something funny, and then he was like, here's a dog playing a keyboard, and I was like, well, aww, mine's better, but
I'd be here for that.
Look, I'm just saying, I've dug deep, I have found something, and this is how I'm showing my affection. I'm trying to
That's
be
really sweet.
Like, I'm going to watch these K-dramas and not talk to you, but you shall get 2 to 3 well-timed dog videos a day from me.
Do you have to, like, set timers for yourself? Now I will send a picture.
No, because my author Instagram now knows, like, okay, I guess this is what we do. You must really like these. And so I get, like, quite a lot. So I'll, like, sign in. And if I, like, sign in to, like, check my author Instagram, I'll be given many options. And I'll be like, this one seems suitable. Click.
I love it. I love it. Because I bet he absolutely freaking loves it.
Oh, I feel like it's, like, my version of hunting him a water buffalo.
Yeah, absolutely.
My Instagram is full of that as well. And it really has me targeted because it has pet reels and Sarah J. Maas. Like, that's all.
Oh yeah.
It sends me. Like, that's it. I guarantee if I opened up my stuff, it would be like Sarah J. Maas or right now Taylor Swift. It has a million videos on that. But yeah.
Yeah, it would be funny sometime to do a deep dive on, like, what everyone has as their Instagram algorithms and what that says about you. But today, what we're saying says about you is how you feel about. So we wanted to do a new series, essentially, where we would bring in romance authors, because the whole premise of the show is romance authors, you know, examining K-dramas. So the first guest author we had this year to kick it off was Megan and I talking to Jay Crownover. You're our number two. That doesn't mean you're number two. It just means you are actually number two. And so
I'm so happy to be number two. Jay's wonderful as well. So
yeah, I was like, you know, I've met Jay.
So yeah. Amy and I picked out 3 dramas that we thought you would like. And then we kind of gave you, like, the blurbs about them and you were able to choose them. So what were they?
Well, Jen originally had some criteria too that she wanted.
Okay. But
you made me give the criteria. Just
we wanted
to know what
you like.
I was not a diva about this.
No. We want. We're like, what are you looking for? Because we're like, we want to pick the right drama for you. And so we said, give us some criteria.
Thank you for clarifying. I did not want people to think, wow.
No, she was like, it has to be enemies to lovers, forced proximity, possibly set in office. No, these were her criteria when we asked for them, though. So enemies to lovers, forced proximity, possibly set in an office, young professionals, maybe. I also love competitions where they're pitted against each other for something. And we had some ideas in mind, but I think we took it to the Patreon and we're like, you give us some suggestions, right?
And then we distilled it down to 3.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be like House Hunters. Although if you read the show notes, you already know. If you have not read
I actually had a friend who was on House Hunters. And
so was my cousin.
Yeah. It's very staged, which I mean, yes, duh. But
and we're living in the house that got picked.
Yes. That happened to my friend as well. And apparently he wasn't enthusiastic enough with his like initial reactions. So they had to tell him how to react for each scene. Yeah.
Oh, awkward. That's why it's always so stilted.
Right. It really is. So I have the dramas that we suggested to you. Okay. We had Dr. Slump, Semantic Error, and Love to Hate You. And we gave her like a, you know, two sentence blurb for each one.
Yeah. These are all great.
Great choices based on what you were looking for.
Yeah, I agree.
And what did you go with? The 2-bedroom in the city, the condo fixer upper, or the rehab cottage?
I would think it'd be the condo fixer-upper, although I'm not quite sure, but I did go with Semantic Error.
Good choice. Good choice.
Great choice.
So initially, we were going to have you just watch the first 4 episodes and then like kind of give us, mm-hmm. you know, your thoughts. But you ended up going in and watching the whole thing, which I think is great. And just to, for anybody who's not familiar with Semantic Error, we did do a podcast on Semantic Error in our 2nd year. It was literally like April of 2022. So if you want to listen to our deep dive of Semantic Error, like that's not what we're doing right now. We are going to talk a lot about it though, and we are going to spoil some stuff. But Semantic Error, if you, you know, haven't watched it and don't want to be spoiled, we're going to be talking about some main parts of it. If you do want to listen to our deep dive, you know, in addition to this, we've got that back in 2022. But just to give you an idea, if you're not familiar with Semantic Error, Semantic Error started as a BL webtoon by Jo-sun and Kim Angi. I'm probably not saying that right, but that's how it's romanized. And it's now a drama on Viki. And when I went back to do some rewatching before this pod, I realized that Viki has now strung all the episodes together into a movie. So if you look for Semantic Error, if you look for Semantic Error on Viki and you see a Semantic Error movie, it's no different than watching the drama. It's just all the episodes strung together almost 3-hour movie, because they're all really short. They're all like 30-minute episodes.
That would have been more helpful, and that would have been great to know as I was watching it.
I didn't know that.
Thank you for not telling me.
I didn't know that. Well done, Jen. I didn't know until yesterday, literally. Or I would have said
that's
something.
Okay.
You didn't ask.
I got through.
You didn't ask.
I got through with the 8 episodes.
Which is what you were supposed to do. That was what you were supposed to do.
Yes.
That was your assignment.
Yeah, you did the assignment. So
I watched twice
because my memory, I have the memory of a goldfish. And so I was petrified that I would forget something. It's the perfectionist in me.
It's the teacher in you.
I was like, they're going to judge me if I forget something.
Are you kidding? I haven't watched it in 2 years. I had to go back and look stuff up. So that's why I was rewatching.
Yeah.
But
it was just as good the 2nd time around.
Jen, I get like dramas fully mixed up on this podcast. Like,
okay.
We forgive errors, trust me.
We say titles wrong, like Love to Hate You. For how long could we not decide if it was Love to Hate You or Hate to Love You? Like we kept saying it both ways.
Ridiculous. Love Between Fairy and Devil, I got wrong a million times. I always say that wrong.
What was it? Oh, Mad for Each Other.
Oh yeah, I said Mad
for You. It was Mad
like
for
the,
You.
Like the 90s show.
Yeah, that's about, a 90s mad about you. Sitcom, yeah. Correct? Or was that a movie?
Or that was Mad About You. Yeah.
Mad About You, yes.
Yeah.
So anyway, if you see the movie on Viki, it's the same thing. So I'm sorry that I didn't know that, Jen. You would have watched the same thing either way. But anyway.
Would it have the same amount of ads? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
Because I am not a...
That's what Kate...
No, it was...
What do you mean ads?
Like, I don't pay for the Viki premium or whatever, the Viki pass.
I thought you were using someone's login.
I mean, I have my own Viki. Why do I need somebody else's?
I didn't know that. No, I don't know. So we all pay for Viki, so there's no ads when you pay for Viki.
Oh, well, they have a lot of ads, but that's okay.
That's annoying.
You know what? I just kind of tuned out.
Yeah. You're like, I've seen this ad 50 times now.
Yeah. Yeah. For anybody who's going to be using Viki on the regular, I will tell you, if you have the money to put towards it, it is worth the $100 a year to have no ads for sure. Yeah, you know, I like the amount of streaming services that I have. Like, I laugh because how many years ago I gave up cable because I'm like, I don't want to pay for it anymore. And I pay way more
we
now.
Pay for it than just in than different when I had cable.
Yeah, totally different platforms.
Yeah, same.
So anyway, before we get into Jen's experience, here's the Viki blurb for Semantic Error in case you haven't seen it. Chusung-woo, played by Jay Chan, is a junior computer science major student who prizes reason, rules, and a rigid sense of what is right above all else. As part of his university work, he is told to work on a group project for the liberal arts, whereby the group is required to make a final presentation in order to pass the module. But as the rest of the group, whom he knows nothing about, have decided to leave him do all the work on his own, he decides to remove their names and make the presentation in his name. Ballsy. I like it. But little did he know that when he did this, he would deal a heavy blow to the academic prospects of a senior student named Jang Jae-young, played by Park Seo-ham. The latter, a design major, is Chusung-woo's polar opposite. He is stylish, fun-loving, and above all, extraordinarily popular. He is the closest thing the college has to a superstar. But when his credit for the liberal arts project is taken away, his grand plans to study abroad are suddenly thrown up in the air. He seeks out Chusung-woo and is of a mind to torment him. But when the duo is forced to work together, a strange attraction starts to develop between them. That's actually a pretty decent blurb for Viki.
It actually is. Yeah. It's long.
It's long, actually like has the stakes in there. Like Jen, one of the things that we've talked about before is that when we think of like a blurb or like a movie or for a show or for a book or whatever, we have the Western view of it. We're like, we need something that's like leaving us hanging on the edge of our seats. Like, we need stakes. And that's not usually the way with what we found in Asian entertainment. It's probably just a cultural thing. So we always look at blurbs and we're like, okay, how can we rewrite this with stakes? But that one was really good. So
yeah, that was good.
Yeah. And I believe that is what made me choose that to begin with. And also, I watched the trailer for it, and the main lead, who was, is it Jae Young?
Oh, yeah.
Park Seo-ham.
Jae Young, yeah. Park Seo-ham. Yeah, he was really cute. So I was like, you know, I'm just gonna go with this one. It looks good. So, yeah.
Yeah, these are some.
I do want to. Did you know that Jay Chan, the one who plays the other lead, did you know he is actually an idol?
Well, they both are.
They both are. Actually.
Well, Jay Chan still is.
I did not
know that. Park Seo-ham is not anymore. Yeah.
Park Seo-ham's kind of retired or from idolism, but Jay Chan is active as an idol, and it's really weird to see him in that button up role and then to see him in like an idol group where he's like, made like got makeup on and clothes, and he's actually pretty outgoing.
We just had the same thing happen with Marry My Husband too, with an actor idol and Marry My Husband, where like he was so sweet little puppy dog, and then he's like this sexy idol. But Megan had
so
you,
when you say idol,
No, I was just gonna say, Megan, had you not dropped off the face of the earth for the past 2 days and looked at the script, you would have seen that was a question on the script.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Whoa, we've gotten very spicy on this all of a sudden.
Okay, wait, Jen, what's your question when we say idol? What?
Do you mean like in American terms, is that like a pop star? Like
yes,
an
yes.
idol or
yes. Okay. Exactly. Yeah, I'm sorry.
K-pop are called idols, yeah.
They call them K-pop idols. I'm sorry. I should have specified. But yeah, it's just like a pop star. It's like a Justin Bieber.
I figured it was, but I didn't want to assume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah, I didn't see that on the script. I'm sorry.
It's okay. It came out organically, but I think it's funny because what y'all don't know is like I texted Megan today because I'm like, are you okay?
I know. I know. I have been like, I know. I've been finishing a book. I have to write a book. And then I've also been like reading a lot. And I just have like had, like, I've just been kind of offline a little
bit. You have
been.
I know. Which is not like you.
Amy, what is really funny, though, because I'm the bad friend that would have let you been eaten by your cats, is Amy was like, why is Megan being so quiet? I'm like, is she being quiet? What do you mean?
I'm like, she has not been in Slack for 2 days.
And I apologize that I hadn't noticed.
She's like, you're a better friend than I, because I didn't notice till you said anything.
Leah's like, she'll be back in 10 to 15 years. Just give it some time.
Hadn't even entered my mind that there was something wrong.
It's okay.
I'm glad you're okay.
I do appreciate you checking on me. That was very sweet. But I felt low. I did feel guilty, though. I was like, oh, shit, really?
No. So, Jen, what about the blurb, like, caught you? Like, what made you choose this one?
Well, it fit the bill with... Sorry, I'm laughing at Leah yawning. I'm already boring her. No. So, yeah.
I'm just trying not to move.
I'm a sucker for enemies to lovers, and so that was really established in the blurb, like already set up, oh, you know, this guy is really going to hate him for screwing him over in his senior project. I'm also just a sucker for anything dealing with or set at a university. We all started writing new adult romance, which is set in college, and I think, you know, that age range will always be near and dear to my heart. So it caught my eye. And, you know, it's a really interesting time in life where everything's just so turbulent, you know, high emotions, mm-hmm. still lots of just emotions. Let me think on that. We're going to probably delete some of that. Yeah. Angst. Thank you.
It's a time in your life when you don't want to get into bed with someone and say, don't talk to me. I need to watch my phone.
It's the opposite.
It's very emotional.
Exactly. Yeah. And hormones, you know, I mean, they're mm-hmm. just going crazy. They don't settle down till like 25. And then, you know, 10 years later, you start perimenopause and, you know, it's all good. So
I do think it's wild in the premise. Like that you could just leave people's name off of a project and they just get no credit for it.
Right?
Well, I had a lot of questions about that, and we can talk about this later in the podcast, because, I mean...
is it that
okay,
easy?
Okay, so he didn't... it's that easy, and he was that okay. Like, he seemed pretty devastated, but not devastated enough for not graduating. I feel like I would be catatonic if my graduation had been derailed by this one dude. Like, I would go scorch earth to, like, rid this man from existence.
Yeah. But you also would not be the person to not do the project.
True.
You would have been Chu Sang-woo doing it all by yourself.
Yeah, I was like, Jen would have been group leader.
Over, though.
Jen would have been group leader. We all know. Right. Jen and Amy would have been group leader, and Leah and I would have been like, you guys got this.
And then we would have been like, your name's not going on this.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I don't mean to throw Leah under the bus. I was good. I was never like group leader, but I participated mm-hmm. and I did what was delegated to me.
I end up becoming group leader, and I'm always like, why? This was not the, like, what is it? I'm like fucking Frodo with the ring. Like, the ring has been handed to me. It doesn't make sense.
You instill a lot of trust in people, though, Leah. Like, Leah,
for no good reason.
I know you all know Leah very well, but Leah, like, people gravitate to Leah. I've mm-hmm. seen it firsthand where total strangers will just, like, open up their, like, life story on Leah, and they've known her for 2 seconds, and I'm just sitting there going, wow.
Like Uber driver.
That's why she had a high Uber rating.
Yeah.
Until Megan took over the conversation.
It's because I have a deep voice. It means that people think I'm trustworthy.
Maybe.
And a stoic. I feel like I have a stoic face for when people tell me batshit banana stuff.
Unless it's about a cart not being available for 15 years.
Well, I mean, like, there's got to be a level. It was like chicken nugget became like a real life thing.
What would have happened if we gave Jen chicken nugget to watch? Be like,
yeah, Jen, we should have given
that would have been mean.
Chicken nugget, which is the what? Chicken nugget
what
is legitimately
chicken nugget?
Yeah, legitimately a story about a drama about a woman who gets turned into a chicken nugget.
And we'll say it all the time, not yucking anybody's yum who liked it, but it is an absurd premise, and it is an absurd story. Yeah.
Yeah, even if you liked it.
Like, absurdist, like, meant, like, it's meant to be, you know.
But yeah, she gets turned into
what happens after she gets turned into, like, does she get eaten? Does she fall in love with another chicken nugget?
Okay, like, wait, you can give the spoiler, but if you want to know if you do not want to be spoiled by what happens in Chicken Nugget, fast forward 45 seconds, Megan's going to spoil it.
Well, right? I'm not going to spoil the whole thing, but...
No, dude, she just the very end.
Okay, she does. She stays a chicken nugget, and the aliens who had the machines... the aliens who had the machines that turned her into a chicken nugget cannot turn her back into a human for, like, 100 years. So she just stays a chicken nugget.
She's so stuck with the golf carts.
Yeah, yeah. She's, like, gone. Okay. Well, the golf carts have been here, and, I mean, we've gotten 10 golf carts.
The golf carts are flying now.
At this point, we've been through at least 4 cycles of golf carts.
Okay.
Okay.
A whole family of golf carts.
That's chicken
nugget. But, I'm in a BTS online chat group, and Chicken Nugget came up yesterday, and people were like, I thought that was a fake drama. Like, I thought it was a joke.
No, it's real.
No, it's real. And
wait, but she gets her happily ever after?
No.
The Chicken Nugget?
No.
She's just a nugget.
It's
She's not sentient. She's just a nugget.
Oh, yeah. She's not sentient. She is a non-sentient chicken nugget the whole time.
Who doesn't rot. She does not rot.
She's very fresh.
She's like a McDonald's chicken nugget.
Yeah, she's like
long shelf life. Yeah,
kind of like a boneless wing from Wingstop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
oh,
that's what she looks like.
Okay,
with sauce,
with preservatives. Okay,
with a lot of sauce preservatives.
A lot of sauce.
Yeah. All right, let's move
okay.
On.
Okay.
So Megan had already mentioned that both our leads, our idols, have been idols, whatever. And we talked about this in a previous episode, and I think it's interesting to get people's take on it, because we have a very different view of, like, singers versus actors in the West, right? Like, like, it's very, very common. If you go and look at the cast list for a K-drama, it's very common to find somebody in there who is currently an idol. Like, that's very normal. They can do it all. And they're good, too. Like these people who are idols, they're very good at singing and dancing, and then they're very good at acting, which I think is great. But how do you feel, like, if you see somebody like, let's say, like, Lady Gaga, who's usually, you know, somebody here on the radio, and then she pops up in A Star is Born or the Gucci movie or something like that? Or vice versa, if an actor, like, all of a sudden drops an album, you know? I don't know anybody off the top of my head.
It's different when they're starring or have a role in a movie as opposed to a TV show somehow. I don't know why that would make a difference for me, but it somehow does, where I feel like it would be more expected to have a cameo in a movie for some reason.
Yeah.
When I see it in a TV show, I feel like it's really distracting. Like, I'm more focused on, oh, that's so cool that I see that, you know, and I'm less focused on the show. But I think more power to them. I just saw that Kate Hudson had just released an album or something. Like, she just came out with a song. And I was like, I didn't know she could sing.
Yeah. No, I did not. I did not know she did that.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
And so I just find it sometimes jarring, because you're right. When those two worlds collide, they don't often intersect in Western culture. So yeah, it's just really unexpected. But if it's something that's a cultural norm, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Why not?
Right. In K-dramas.
And Lady Gaga. I just need to throw out Lady Gaga. Come on.
What about Lady Gaga?
Lady Gaga. She can do it. Everything.
Oh, I wasn't saying she could.
Lady Gaga can do whatever she wants.
She was a good example.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say is, when we, and being in a movie, like, you're in the whole movie and she has a part for the whole movie. What we see in, like, television shows is what you're saying. We see a cameo, and it's not, whereas in K-dramas, they are, like, the main role. Like, I think of, like, way back when, I think both Britney Spears and Katy Perry had cameos in How I Met Your Mother. And the whole
Britney Spears had her own movie.
Well, I know she had her own movie. Yes. But, like, when they do cameos, it's exactly what you said. I just keep thinking, Britney Spears is on the show right now. Like, that's all I'm paying attention to is Britney Spears is on the show. I don't know what the story is. Britney Spears is on the show.
Yeah.
So
Even when you bring in like movie stars into TV shows, like when Brad Pitt was on Friends, I was like, that's Brad Pitt.
And that's everybody's, that's all you're thinking the whole episode. Yeah. Even though he was really funny in that episode. And it's one of the Thanksgiving episodes. And he and Ross had the I Hate Rachel Club.
It is good.
Okay. So you were looking for an enemies to lovers romance. Why is this a top trope for you?
So I want to bring it back to, I was listening to your podcast, doing some research before I came on, and I was listening to the one of the more recent episodes that you all did with the romantic comedies. And I think you all hit a point where you said that, you know, ones that you watched in late adolescence slash early adulthood are still pretty near and dear to your heart. And I feel like that's the case with me. When I was growing up in the late 90s and early 2000s, to date myself, that was rom-com era where I think at this point, Kate Hudson was in a lot of the movies, but and Sandra Bullock, and those really, like, I watched those over and over. The Proposal, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days,
Proposal.
10 Things I Hate About You. And I mean, the common thread in those is they all hated each other to start with. Like, they really hated each other. And I really just love the tension that comes from that. And I think that's why I've written quite a few enemies to lovers romances, is because there's a lot of tension to pull from and a lot of comedy that can ensue because of that. And so I'm always here for watching anything where people just, you know, go at it. They just hate each other because, you know, that leads to some passion and go the other way where they love each other.
I agree. I like enemies to lovers too.
I decided to pull a question from our deep dive on semantic error because it definitely applies to a bit of a twist on the enemies to lovers trope and why it may or may not work in this format. And so this is way back from 2 years ago. So let's talk some universal fantasy butter. And quick side note for anyone who missed our podcast on universal fantasy, but the concept just basically means a romantic fantasy trope that just kind of hooks us every time, like a Beauty and the Beast scenario, you know, something like that. So here we have a little bit of a bully romance. This is not to say that our lovely and sexy Jung Jae-young is truly a bully, but he does bully hero number two, Chu Sang-woo, a little bit when he finds out that Sang-woo is the reason he didn't graduate. Well, according to Sang-woo, Jae-young is the reason Jae-young didn't graduate because he was the freeloader. That being said, Jae-young is a bit of a bully to Sang-woo. Everything from enrolling in all of Sang-woo's classes, getting to class early to steal his seat, buying up all of the canned coffee that Sang-woo loves so that he cannot have his favorite drink, drawing on Sang-woo's face when he falls asleep in class, wearing all red to be extra distracting. Oh my God, that red tracksuit. And even moves in next door to him to further antagonize him. And this goes for Jen, but also we can all weigh in. Like, is this kind of enemies to lovers romance one with quite a bit of psychological warfare your kind of butter?
First, before I answer this, I have a lot of questions because how much money does this person have to be able to sign up for all of, like, extra classes? Like, college, at least in America, is very expensive. Like, and then
suspend your disbelief, Jen. All of these,
like, I was sitting there, I'm like, how's he paying for all this? How is he getting this extra apartment? And he has a studio to make art in. Like, holy moly. Like, dude better go for this guy.
And he doesn't even like the Blackholic coffee either. He doesn't like it.
No. He buys all the coffee, buys brand new red tracksuits.
That had to be expensive too. I mean, where's all this money coming from? That's what I want to know. But to answer your question, I'll bring it back. Yes, I do love this type of enemies to lovers. Now, when you said it was bully, I was actually surprised when I read that, like when you asked that, because
It's like, oh, was he really
but
a bully?
It's like because a, it's like a slight bully. It's not your typical bully romance. Like, this is not somebody who's a bully for bully's sake. He is. These are repercussions, you know, in his mind for what Sungwoo did to him.
Because I worked with middle schoolers for 12 years, and I was like, this doesn't feel like bullying. I got bullied on a daily basis. Anyway, I won't go through my psychological damage from that. But yeah, no, it worked for me. I actually thought that they could have been a little more heavy-handed with that. I don't know. I guess the movies that I was watching, like, they're really over the top, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you think about How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, like, the level of... Am I allowed to cuss on here?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, like, the level of batshit crazy that they go to, like, the extremes to really just push each other away is kind of what I expect, or what I went in kind of expecting. I was like, oh, this is actually, like, okay, so he's wearing red. Okay, that didn't seem like too much of, like, he knew he didn't like the color, but I was like, oh, you know, like, if somebody wore the color I didn't like, I wouldn't be bothered by that. Maybe moving in, next door, that was a little much, right? I felt like that might be the straw right there. And I'm like, okay, that's a little much. But the rest of the stuff, I was like, okay. But yeah, I think I'm just desensitized from my life experiences. But yeah, I really enjoyed that. I thought it was really cute.
Yeah, it was definitely like a mild form of it. And I think that's what we talked about in our deep dive as well, because then Sungwoo gets in on it too, right? Like, he brings like the partition so that Jaehyung can't see him.
Oh my god, I love
him.
The partition.
Like, I love there's the partition. Some fun so retaliation.
Knocking on the partition.
Yeah.
It's so cute.
Yeah, he gets in on it as well. So, you know, they both had skin in the game at that point. But it was really cute. And it was really sweet to watch them start to fall for each other. Should I say spoiler?
No, we're not okay. Doing a non-spoiler section today, because this is basically, we're just talking about your reaction to the drama. So yeah, it's all good.
Yeah. I thought it was really cute when Sungwoo was starting to fall, because I felt like that was more pronounced than when Jaehyung was falling. Like, I felt like he was almost immediate, where it was almost like a insta-lust type thing with him. Whereas Sungwoo, it took longer, and it was really cute when he was screenshotting his little Instagram posts and stuff.
And then when Jaehyung sees
it at the end.
Yeah, it's my favorite. Oh, I love it so much.
So cute. Yeah, I feel like Jaehyung recognized his feelings. He understood what his feelings meant before Sungwoo. Mm-hmm. I think Sungwoo was like, he had feelings, but he didn't know what they meant yet. Just probably because he was like less experienced and just the type of character he was and his personality. So I thought that was it. I agree with you about that. So when Sungwoo started to fall, then it was like, oh gosh, it's coming now. This is like when the romance really kicks in.
Yeah. I love that slow burn, even if it's a one sided slow burn, and him trying to reconcile his feelings, because he's all logic, right? And he doesn't understand these emotions that he's having. And yeah, super, super fun to watch.
I feel like there might be, I would say neurodivergent a little bit.
Oh, for sure.
And so I feel like I identify, I'm like, oh, we're a little neurospicy. Yep. I see it. I understand. So
yeah. I also like that it's kind of like, when we're talking about like much more logic versus like much more id, like I like that. You know, we have kind of like the do first, ask questions later kind of thing happen first. It feels really fun and impetuous. So when you're talking about like, do we like bully romance or not? I still think that I'm probably more forgiving on bully romance to some degree in general, which is interesting given that I was like so severely bullied. It's probably got like some, you know, kink twist in there. But this is like bully light, but that's fine. I liked it. It was as light as I needed it to be for like kind of how the drama was, because the drama doesn't get like super turn, like there's not a lot of angst and, you know, turmoil in it. But yeah, I do like that you kind of have like that, like first, like gut seat of your pants kind of thing. And then like, yeah, it's kind of like the insta lust a bit. And, you know, this is fun. And then we have like that much more slow, like onion unpacking, like peeling away the layers and like realizing you've got these feelings. And so both sides, I like both watching both sides fall in love because both are like archetypes that I like to see fall in love. Also, we had like a himbo basically, I'm never going to say no to a himbo.
Yeah, it's kind of that like carefree guy who puts on a front of like cockiness and swagger and everything. He falls hard. And then you have the guy who's like not super, the logic, not in touch with his emotions, probably a little neurospicy. And then he starts understanding what it means. It is. It's like two really great archetypes falling, like two great romance archetypes having a romance. So I think anyone who watches that could identify with one of them.
I was a little nervous to start the series because Amy had given me a trigger warning of it was a bully romance. And I, like, when I think of bullying.
I don't even remember that.
Like, yes, you did. And I was nervous about that because normally I would be like, oh, like I would stay away from that because I don't want to like see somebody psychologically hurt or whatever. And I'm really glad that I picked this one because it was very much bully light where I didn't even really see it.
It was almost more like pranks.
It's pranks. It is, yes, pranks. Exactly. That's a good one. Yeah, that's a good way to say it. I don't even remember saying that. That's really funny. Because I didn't remember a whole lot of the drama until I went back and did some rewatching this week. But I will say, and we've talked about this before on the pod as well, things that we tend to like in K-drama are things that are way far off from what we would like, you know, in real life. And there's something about the fantasy of, and this goes back to, like, I know you watch Meteor Garden, which is the Chinese version of, you know, Boys Over Flowers, which is the K-drama version, which is definitely a bully romance. And I love Boys Over Flowers, even though I know that, you know, the main character is, you know, Gu Junpyo, that he is a very problematic hero. So there's something weird to get into this like fantasy space and be able to, you know, like Leah was saying, like there could be some like, you know, internal trauma that we're unpacking in getting that bully to basically unbully themselves by falling in love. Okay, let's talk K-drama tropes. So the three of us have come to recognize K-drama tropes or cliches that show up in drama after drama, many of which we love seeing over and over again, and some of which we are, you know, ready to lay to rest. One of them is the fisheye kiss, where the kisser takes the kissee by surprise, and the surprised kissee receives the kiss with eyes wide open. And I love your answer for this. This is going to be some good conversation. So how do you feel? Because this happens so much, Jen. So much. So how do you feel about it?
Amy was laughing because I wrote, I take notes when I am forming thoughts. And I wrote ... not a fan. because I, like, they did it a couple of times. And I was just like, I'd be really creeped out if my eyes happen to flutter open and somebody's just dead ass staring me in the face as their lips are upon me. Like, what the fuck? No. So that was a hard no for me.
Because if people aren't aware of that first kiss, Jaehyung is sleeping, right?
So I had some thoughts on that too. So Sangwoo had some really great boundaries earlier in like an episode prior or something where he was like, if you're going to touch me, tell me first. And I was like, good for you, bro.
Like, he didn't like the being pat on the head boundary thing at first, right?
Yeah. I have questions about that too, but I'll get to that in a second. But then Jaehyung. I'm so sorry. Jaehyung.
It's okay. No, it's okay.
With names.
Like,
I
if you need to look at the names, we do that all the time.
Like, he respected his boundaries. And then when Jaehyung is sleeping, he goes and kisses, like, Sangwoo goes and kisses him. Like, come on, you set these boundaries. And then you don't even, like, get consent to kiss it. Oh, I was actually kind of upset about, because I was like,
why'd you do that? Like, I get why, because, you know, cute romance. But, and it just, that actually kind of bothered me.
That's fair.
The other two kisses were good because they were consensual.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, you bring up a really good point, is the fact that Sang-woo set up those boundaries ahead of time. And if he hadn't mm-hmm. done that, it would have, you might not have had as strong a reaction to, you know, but it still is dubious consent. I mean, or non-con mm-hmm. when you're kissing somebody when they are not fully conscious.
Conscious?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there hadn't been an establishment of intimacy right. before that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So I felt like it was a little bit hypocritical of him, but I went along
with it. Well, I think it does. For
the sake of the story.
I think it does still kind of go with his archetype and with his, you know, possible neurospiciness in that he does not know how to act in this scenario, right? He's mm-hmm. having these feelings that he doesn't recognize, doesn't understand. And I'm not excusing mm-hmm. any, you know, non-consensual behavior, but I do kind of get where his sort of curiosity took over and he just went for it. But also, the writers made him.
The writers
did it. Yeah.
It was the writer's fault. Yes.
We don't blame Sang-woo. He's a sweetie. Who's the writers?
Exactly.
He was very cute. He adored his character.
Yeah, he was great.
So do you know how old he is?
God, they're probably like 17. No, I don't know. They look so young.
Jay Chan, I think, is like 22 now? Like something like that?
Oh, he's a baby.
Yeah. Jae Young's a little bit older.
He's like 6 years older.
Yeah, he was late 20s when he did this, because then he directly had to go into the military to serve his mm-hmm. mandatory enlistment. So he's out now, though.
They have fantastic skin. I really
It's crazy.
Loved how clear their skin was. Like, I wish my skin could be that clear.
I feel
it was beautiful.
It's a common, that's a common thing I covet in K-dramas.
Yeah.
Okay, Park So-ham is 30.
It's gorgeous.
Now.
And Jay Chan, I have to know these mm-hmm. things.
Yeah, you do.
And Jay Chan's 22.
Oh, okay, so young.
Oh, so he was 20.
So he was 20 when we watched this 2 years ago.
Yeah, wow.
So we had a that was part of our discussion. I looked at our old script and it was like, can we think he's cute or do we just want to push him in a pram?
We did say that, I remember.
Both.
Yeah. Yeah, they look very young, but they're adorable.
Oh, did you want to talk about the head pats and stuff, Jen?
I noticed when you brought up tropes, I noticed quite a few things that I didn't know if they were tropes mm-hmm. in this genre or if they were just specific to this story. So some things that I noticed, well, I'll bring up one trope that I didn't really jive with, if that's okay, is the quasi love triangle, almost like quadrangle, at some point. Between Jihae. Yeah. I just felt for that girl. Like, she put herself out there several times. Like, I commend her. She was fantastic. And then just getting strung along. Oh my God, it killed me. And then to be bossed around by Jae Young, like telling her to back off. I was mad on her behalf.
Yeah, she definitely got the short
end. But I do like that she got to have her moment of telling him how she felt. And
mm-hmm. yes,
and he because Sang-woo had grown, that he didn't just mm-hmm. say I don't like you, I'm sorry, that he like sat there and was a mm-hmm. friend for her while she came to him with her feelings.
Yeah.
So I did like that. So that is common in a K-drama that there is a second lead or a second like an unrequited love person. That's mm-hmm. a pretty common trope.
Okay. Also, I noticed something that was definitely not what I'm used to when viewing things. Just a lot of internal thoughts. So many.
Like spoken? Like,
that they're just talking to themselves. I wouldn't even say internal. It's just talking to themselves. I'm like, is this like the people around them don't hear this? They look.
Yeah.
That's a total.
Yes. So essentially. Essentially, it's going to be like in a book if you got to have the internal monologue in the book. We're getting that. That's something I've just gotten. Yeah.
We're literally getting it played out on screen. Yeah. I do think it's interesting because you said there's a lot of like long pauses and yearning glances. 100%. And I had a hard time a little bit with that when I started watching K-dramas because I was like, oh my God, they're staring at each other for like 10 minutes. Like, what is going on? But it's just very much, very much like a K-drama thing where there's just these like, I know. It's so funny you picked up on that after like watching Semantic Error because,
Well, I think the internal monologue still takes me out sometimes because I'll still just like note it and be like, here we are like doing our monologuing. Yeah. But like,
same.
It's just serving the point of if you were going to be reading it as a book, you're just getting the monologue.
Yeah.
And I wonder about that because we don't get that with Western culture, like TV, but we know how they're feeling. So, I mean, is it that our Western shows are more dialogue heavy? That they're kind of explaining how they feel through the dialogue. Like now I'm going to be going back and thinking about this because we know how they're feeling, but they're not like talking to themselves. It's not like, what is the show, You?
I would say the different, not like You. I would say we had an actress on here at one point, Catherine, and I think I would love to have her back at some point to talk about how it's not like a better or worse. It's just a difference in like, the stylistic choices and talking about like how some of the things sometimes in like K-dramas get played potentially like a little bit broader in certain ways, but across the board, it works out in like its own kind of like when you kind of just like tap into what the vibes are, for lack of a better word, you're kind of just like, it all kind of fits together in a package. Whereas, so I don't think it's like, I don't think you could like take that level of monologue and then drop it straight into like a Western show. It wouldn't work out the same. But when you're kind of taking all the nuts, like all the pieces that kind of like set up that drama, it kind of just fits into like how it's all structured and it works to me. Similar to One in the West. It's just that I feel like for me as an author, it is, I don't mind it. I've actually, like, it was jarring at first because I wasn't used to it. And now I've just become, like, very, like, I'm a fan of it. The long expositions as they're, like, walking along. Like, now I'm going to give you the window of all my thoughts. I'm like, I'm there for it every
time. I'm used to it, but like you said, I still notice it. Like, when it happens, I note it in my head that they're doing this for my benefit right now. But I'm totally there for it and I'm used to it now.
Well, it makes me think about when I'm writing and I'll be like, I don't have a lot of internal monologue in this scene. And I don't want my whole scene to be internal monologue because that's boring. Like there needs to be dialogue and action happening. But there's times where I'll be like, ooh, I feel like I've gotten a bit light on the internal monologue. And I'll like think about like if this was a K-drama, like at what point would we be like entering? Because like I said, I feel like K-dramas really influence my writing. But yeah, I've started to think about it in terms of like, ooh, I feel like we're about due for like some sort of monologuing.
Yeah. So what are some of the other ones you noticed?
I noticed a lot of grabbing, like just a lot of physical, like grabbing hands, grabbing wrists and like stopping, like grabbing and stopping, like really dramatically, which I was like, cool. Yeah. I like it. Like I'm here for it. Thing. But I just noticed it. We don't see a lot of that.
100% a thing.
Yeah.
The hand and the wrist are huge.
I thought it was really interesting, the emphasis that they put on specific names or monikers. Like, it was really a big deal for him. I forget the actual word, Hyung. but it meant brother or older brother. Hyung?
Yeah.
How big of a deal that was, as opposed to just calling him by his first name. And then also, like, when Sang-woo called Jae-young senior stuff like that, and I was like, oh, that's really interesting. And so I thought, okay, maybe that's like a cultural aspect, you know, like it's really important, names are really important. So that's just something I noted. I was like, oh, that's cool. Let's see, I also noticed that they made a super big deal about Jae-young's tattoo. Like they're like, oh, you look like you're in a gang, and it's like this frilly little like arrow. I was like, oh, what kind of gang is he in?
like, you're like, I don't know any gangs with this type of tattoo. Yeah, for sure. That tattoos are still a little like taboo. And I don't even know, like, if I was actually in Korea, I'm not sure. But in K-drama world, tattoos are definitely still pretty taboo. And yeah, they often refer, if they, like, I've watched several K-dramas now where if they have tattoos, they're like, oh, are you in a gang? Like, it's like, that's like the dialogue. Yeah. So
yeah. I love it.
I know. Taeyong just has this like pretty little tattoo, you know?
It's so pretty. Like, I was like, oh, it's very dainty. Yeah. And I really liked it. I was like, I would get that tattoo.
Yeah.
Sign me up for that gang. And then the one thing that I noticed as well was the head pats. Mm-hmm. Is that a common trope in K-dramas?
I don't know if the head but like padding in general. Like one thing that I noticed early on is like when you, like if you see somebody in like Western media, like television or movie, and they really need a hug, the person who hugs them is going to hug them really tight, right? And like maybe like rub their back. When somebody gets a much needed hug in a K-drama, it's very light padding on the back.
Yeah. And the pat is a big deal. They like zoom in on the slow padding. But it's
like super light. And I'm like, that's like, for me, somebody does that to me, they don't really want to be hugging me. You know what I mean? Like, exactly. If somebody gave me a hug and they're okay.
I'd be like, don't bother.
Yeah, but like that's a very, it's very affectionate. In a K-drama.
It's just different forms of intimacy in different cultures, for sure. So, yeah.
And to me, the head padding fit within, and I'm not going to like come and do a big justification for like why it's okay to kiss someone in their sleep. Obviously, look, I work at a university. I'm not going to say try this at home. You do not want to do this. This is considered grounds for all sorts of bad things. Yet, we are in a drama. This is fake. We are using the context of this. I think it's just like you've got like these two new adult age guys who are experiencing big feelings for the first time, and they kind of just don't know where to put their bodies. They don't know how to do a kiss, so they do it when someone's asleep. They don't know how to like show physical affection in a way that's like not within this like antagonistic, silly relationship that they've kind of set up of like pseudo bullying. So you're going to do like an awkward pet because like that's how you're going to have like some sort of connection. So I feel like there's just a lot of like, I'm not sure what to do. I'm not a big boy yet. So I'm going to do these like kind of like awkward, silly things because I'm like still new adults.
I still don't have a fully formed frontal lobe.
Yeah. Like I don't know how to show my real feelings. So I'm going to do these awkward, super weird things to show you how much I like you.
Some grown men don't know how to show their feelings. So, you know,
let's not get started.
Okay.
As a woman in her 40s who has abandoned all hope of dating, I can just move in with me and
be my sister wife.
Actually, I'm going to throw in a little. So I saw now I'm talking about reels, saying that I shared my dog reel with my husband. I saw another reel recently and it made me think, because this is a low hanging fruit to any cishet dude out there that's like, you know what? I'd like to attract a woman in a way that's not awkward and like make her dreams come true, especially like when I've listened to this podcast and heard, you know, people be like, ugh, God, why are men like this? And it is, we're not asking you to like become a romance hero, but like pick up some
book.
You know, it was kind of like pick up some book, pick up some romance, and you do not like, you're not going to be the dude. You're not going to have to like be the firefighter, the alpha soldier, but like, also, if there's some stuff in there that's like, like, what's that about? Like, there's like when we're talking about universal fantasy, like this is low hanging fruit out there. Like, this is an inside scoop that like you may not get, that like people like, what are we saying? Like, we're like, you know, it just makes you feel special in some way. Like, there's just a lot in here that like, I feel like if you're a person watching K-dramas already, like, I think you're already starting to like tap into like, what is it out there that's going to make somebody be like, actually, you might be kind of a good guy. Look at what you're up to. Mm-hmm. You've got that umbrella. Don't do that. Yeah, don't do the umbrella in Portland to Jen. But, you know, for most people,
I would take that umbrella. I would take the umbrella.
Yeah, romantic gesture. If somebody umbrella with, like, is different.
Yeah, if somebody with like their full polite self who's like, I am just here to be a good person in this world. And I would love to, like, if somebody just opened up an umbrella. I think I told the story when we were talking. Oh, you were here for Something in the Rain. A slight spoiler for the Something in the Rain podcast that's coming is recently it was a deluge here. It was raining so hard. And we had a giant golf umbrella. We walk out of a building. My husband opens up that giant golf umbrella. I'll give you two fucking guesses what happened.
It's broken.
No.
It blew away. It blew inside out.
Did he cover the kids first?
There were covered himself.
He just started walking, people. He just started walking.
Oh.
I was still coming through the door.
And he's just like, and I was like, this is my umbrella. Yeah,
I just stood there. I was like, fuck this. I know my worth at this point. I'm not stepping foot. I'm going to wait till he notices. How far did he
get? To the car. To the car.
He got a block.
That's far.
Before he was like, my wife isn't with me and I'm alone in the rain with this umbrella. It turns around and I'm just standing there like, hello, I am going to stand here under this awning, not get wet, and wait for you.
It's the small gestures that count.
Yeah, does he watch K-drama?
That was not the small gesture.
No. Yeah, like, has he picked up that fairy romanticy? No.
I mean,
I'm just saying.
The bar is low.
Read those. Yeah, read the romanticy. Yeah.
Fantasizing about? It's not necessarily that we're fantasizing about, you know, a dark fairy lord who's going to, you know, take us on a table full of paints, although we are. But like, what are the small things that you think that we are noticing? And yeah, like a freaking umbrella, man. Like, just hold an umbrella over my head.
It doesn't even have to be toward you, though. Like, I was out to eat. We went to a food cart pod last week. That's very Portland. I'm sorry.
I'm just gonna.
You're like,
so specific.
We got some
pushing the Portland on you. Anyway, and there was a live musician that was playing, and while we like when we were getting up, we were done eating, and Justin, my husband, he gave my son some like a five or something. He's like, go put that in her little. Suitcase. Oh my gosh. Her guitar case. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's really thoughtful, you know? Yeah. And it didn't have to like be anything big. It was just that he was appreciating somebody's art and supporting them. And, you know, he wasn't looking for a pat on the back. Yeah. And he's also teaching my son to like be kind and considerate.
I like that.
And I just thought that was a really sweet gesture. And I was like, oh, that just made me love you a little more.
Yeah. And it cost him the low price of $5.
$5.
Exactly.
I completely agree with you. That would also make my heart do a pitter patter. It would make my heart flutter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, somebody who treats other people kindly. That's hot.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to be said for like falling in love, and what is fun in a book or in a drama is like, who here went to all the Michael Haig workshops at one point? I know I've been in them. I don't know Wilts. But that idea of moving from identity to authenticity. So it's that movement that like, as you're becoming more like emotionally evolved, you're moving from like the persona of things to like your true self and being more vulnerable. But it's also in like seeing that in other people and like seeing other things. So it's the idea of just like seeing people through like more of a vulnerable gaze of like, yeah, I'm not going to just like consume music that somebody is producing and walk by. I'm going to like give them some money and say thank you and show my kid to do that too. Like, that's attractive. Mm-hmm. Or it's like, I see that like somebody is pushing a cart into like the grocery store. And if you're like, you know what, let me take the cart up for you. Like, that was a nice thing you did that day. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't mean that I am not able to push my cart. It doesn't mean that like, but I mean, you can do it for like any sex. I'm just saying that like, it's like those kind of gestures where you're just like looking around and seeing people and being human and like doing a thing, holding the door open for people. If that's part of your culture, just like whatever it is, there's just things where it's like, it just shows you're like seeing people and like sometimes the bar's so low. You're like, just said like
humanity is hot.
Yeah,
it is. We are not asking.
Yeah.
We are not asking you to be some sort of like fey prince who saves the world. We're asking,
but if you are,
to tip people like we'll a human, tip people like a human, say please and thank you. Like, we're talking low bar, okay?
Okay, so we're gonna round this out with kind of how you got to watching all 8 episodes, because initially we're going to have you watch the first 3 and just have you come on. And you're like, you know, I'm done with the first, you know, few. If you want me to come on, I said, we can have you now. I said, or if you like it and you want to keep going, and you're like, I'll keep going. But were you hooked yet?
So I was not hooked until the fourth episode is what I was. Yeah. I enjoyed the first few episodes. I will say that. But I was not like, oh, I need to keep watching like back to back episodes until things got a little heated. I think it was in episode 4 where they had that almost kiss in the prop room.
That scene is
it's so beautiful. Yeah. The scene's really beautifully shot.
Yes.
And just the lighting, it was like cinematically, it was beautiful.
I agree.
And then the tension, like you could really feel the tension there. And just the way that, oh my God, Jae Young, there we go. I'm trying to think of names. Just the way that he looked at Sungwoo during their French performance, it was so sweet. And I was like, okay, I need to continue watching.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how you can watch that prop room scene and then be like, I've had enough. Like, you gotta keep going then, you know?
Yeah. Up until that point, I was like, oh, maybe this just isn't quite my jam. And to be fair, I had watched the episodes sporadically, so it wasn't like I was watching all in a row. So I would, you know, sneak one here, right, and then the next week I'd watch another one, and so maybe that also played into it. Mm-hmm. But then once I hit that, I watched all the rest of the series or the rest of the drama. I watched it in one sitting. Like, it was good. Fantastic.
I'm so glad.
I do think there is, I mean, even with this being a short drama, like we said, it is 8 episodes. They are all about 30 minutes, so it is a really quick watch. Mm-hmm. But I do feel like there's, for me in particular, I have like a 4-episode rule. Cause I do think if a drama doesn't hook me in episode 1, I'm not giving up on it, especially if it's one that's getting a lot of buzz. Mm-hmm. But I do think that you should be hooked by the 4th episode. And if you're not, then maybe that drama isn't going to pull you in.
Yeah.
Cause a lot of dramas that I do love, it has taken me till that 4th episode to get into them.
I think that could be said for any show, honestly.
It's got to find
its footing. I think about, you know, when I first started watching Gilmore mm-hmm. Girls, which I love very much, but the first few episodes actually aren't that great for me, at least. I liked them, but
makes
I don't
me feel better because I have not gotten into Gilmore Girls because the first few episodes.
Yeah, I feel like any show, especially in Western media, when you're shooting a pilot, mm-hmm. that pilot is usually shot like sometimes 6 months to a year before they actually do the series. Mm-hmm. And so they don't have those actors aren't connected yet. They're, you know, they haven't found their rhythm. So it does take a few episodes, mm-hmm. I think.
I also think, it took a few episodes to really get that chemistry and to get the rhythm of the show. At least when I was watching it, I felt like the first few episodes, the dialogue was a little more stilted than the rest of the episodes. And that just might be my own personal opinion. It was still good. It wasn't as witty as the mm-hmm. back half of the episodes. I really loved the dialogue that they had in the last few episodes. I wrote down a quote of what they said just because I really loved it so much. One, it's not witty, but it's just really endearing, was when Jae Young said, "Does your heart beat when you look at me?" Like,
yeah.
Yes, it does. It does.
It absolutely totally does.
Yeah. Does. Oh, yes. But then, and then when he asks Sungwoo for a 2-week trial, and then he says, "What are you, some type of streaming service?" And I was like, "Oh, that's really funny! Like, so funny." Yeah. So yeah, just, you know, I'm always here for banter and witty dialogue. So I just thought it was just so cute.
I do, and something I want to throw out. Oh, sorry, just because again, this is coming from a webtoon, so there was like source material. So I don't know like how much, because I haven't read the webtoon. I don't know like how much was directly pulled out. But something that you raised that I think is interesting is like how for you, you felt like it kind of kept getting like a bit stronger as you kept going. Is like relating it back to writing too. You know, you're thinking about like oftentimes in K-dramas, writers are writing I don't, and in this case, I'm not sure, but like often they're writing kind of a few episodes ahead of where they're shooting. So you're kind of right. I mean, like, imagine that too. Like, I think that's wild to me. And it, but it also feels somewhat relatable in writing genre fiction, where sometimes we end up writing at such a pace because the work demands you're writing at such a fast pace that you've got these writers that, like, imagine what it would be like to be like, okay, like, what are we going to do? We're at episode 6. They're shooting episode 2. Like, we got to keep going. But sometimes, like, that can kind of put you in the zone and you start to figure out who your people are. Like, as you're, so maybe at the beginning, it's like going fast and you're just like, I'm still not totally sure who these people are, what's happening. And then sometimes it finds their way. And I think it, like, we see different ways that, like, it can either fall apart or come together. Sometimes you can tell it starts really strong, like somebody had a really clear vision of what they wanted to do, but it didn't quite hold for like a 16 episode like arc. And so you get these like very saggy middles where we get like all sorts of like land deals and drama just to like fill time. But it is, I just think it's interesting. So in this case, it did make me wonder, as you said that, to be like, last week, Megan was saying sometimes she writes her meet cute very first so she can get to know what people are like. Sometimes you hear writers writing the sex scenes first so they can see how people interact. But it was like, as you start to get more of a vibe of what these characters are like, was their banter getting like crisper and more real because they were just getting like their voices more clearly in their head? And as a writer, that's always interesting to wonder.
Yeah, that's actually what I was going to say. I was like, well, the writers probably started to like get to know their characters. Like, at the, you know what I mean? Like, that's how my writing goes for sure.
Yeah, because essentially when you're writing and you're like in the zone, quote unquote, I think it's probably, I mean, I'm not trying to make us like sound too hokey, but I wonder how much it is the same as like method acting, because you're essentially like having to become these personas of like, how are they feeling? What are they doing for all these different people? You're just not acting with like your body, you're acting with your brain.
You 100%.
I do act with my acting. Not that actors don't use their brain either.
Like, we are writing the performance, basically.
Although it's funny, do you guys do, so sometimes when I'm trying to describe a facial expression, I'll like make it. Like, do you guys do that? Because so sometimes when I write in public, I was like, are people thinking I'm going through?
Yes.
I mean, people probably are you think having I'm a going stroke? Through it. Yeah, because my face is like, because I'm like, how are my brows looking? Like, what if I'm like, man, yeah. Like, you know what I mean?
I'm always impressed. This is a totally different non sequitur. I'm always impressed when I have overthought and overdone blocking. Like, I have a scene right now that I've been editing where like I've changed the blocking in it and like nothing big. Like, she's either sitting in a chair or I'm like, no, she's not sitting in a chair. She's standing in a corner. No, that doesn't feel right. So like I've changed how this person's standing or sitting in a room like 4 different times. Somebody's going to read over that and never give a shit. Like,
no,
it's not. It's like care. A sentence.
Yeah.
No one cares. But in my head, it was really important for me to know where is that person at? Because the rest of the scene, I need to know how they're moving around the room. And so where they are right now really matters, even though no one's ever going to give a shit.
Yeah. Sometimes I really get in the weeds about like where all the hands are.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure.
And I'm like, why am I? Why?
There's too many hands.
Yeah. But then sometimes I'm like, does it really matter? Like, do I really need to describe what every single hand is doing?
I mean, sometimes you do, because I have had editors come back to me and be like, I don't think this position works because of where their hand is or whatever.
But I'm like, I don't know. I mean, and then I have a tail too with aliens.
Right.
Like,
if this, you guys have hands in the mix, then I don't even know what
like,
to do.
Yeah, it's like all kinds of stuff. But then when I read books, I don't really care where all their hands are. You know, I'm reading for like the emotions. I don't really care if like a hand is on the bed beside the head and the other one is at the waist. I don't give a shit, you know.
But to me, the mysticism that happens, that like, because I generally hate writing. And Jen, I know that you generally hate writing. Like, we're both more editors. Like, I know that to be true about you and me. But the mysticism that happens to me of when you start to get really clear dialogue come through and you're like, you're connected with like the fucking universe and you're like, I'm a conduit.
Yeah,
that's the best.
That's wild.
Yeah. When it's just flowing, it's a whole
thing. It's awesome. And there are days where nothing flows, where you're like, if I can't even get 500 words today, I'm going to like quit forever. And then there are days where you're like, I just wrote 5,000 words and I don't even remember doing it.
Mm-hmm. I'm copy editing now, and there's no
flow. No, there's no flow in copy editing.
That's why I hate editing. I hate. See, yeah,
I like the drafting. The drafting is my happy place.
Yeah, me too.
Give me a draft, and I will edit the shit out of it. Like, I love editing so much. I also love just editing other people's stuff because it's so much easier.
Right? You can see stuff in other people's writing that you can't see in your own. And I think that's what's so, bringing it all back to K-dramas, I think that's what's so interesting about watching K-dramas and having that sort of writer's lens is that I'm sure we see stuff that when the writers are in it, you know, like Leah's saying, like they're filming it as they're writing it, that you just can't see, right? Like you're too close to it. You can't see it where we can take a step back and be like, this is what should have happened here. If you had the time to think about it.
And this is why I have sympathy.
Yeah, 100%.
In the book I'm editing right now, I've taken out, I'm not even going to tell you all how many times I've taken out someone biting their goddamn cheek. No one's going to have a face left. Everyone is biting their cheek in this. Like, I was like, how many cheek bites do I have? Like, I'm just taking out, like, so many cheek bites. It was just like some fucking crutch I had. But, you know, that's what I'm saying. Like, so sometimes when they have, like, a drama, there's, like, some sort of thing. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that. I just have to be like, that's where it's, like, funny. Because, like, we, like, critique it. But then also I'm trying to do it from a place of, like, look, I really get it.
Yeah, 100%. Definitely have sympathy for it.
And it's so easy to judge from, like, you know, just watching it as opposed to you're actually in the thick of it, like you said, Leah. I mean, yeah, I agree. I have the utmost respect for these writers. They did a fantastic job.
So are you saying that this was a successful experiment?
I would say it was 100% a success. I really enjoyed this K-drama.
Yay! We did it! Yes, we love it.
I know. Now we just have to get you like more hours in the day so that you can watch more.
Yeah, we need to get
Maybe I need to wake up earlier.
We need to get your child his own cart.
His own cart in 10 years.
Right.
Yeah. And just, I get it. I'm always taking my, I have to take, I have two kids and I got to take them all over the place. It's like school ends and it's like, okay, now I'm the ferry service. It's so exhausting.
Yeah.
So I get it.
Ferry service or cruise service?
What? Is it
ferry service or cruise service?
You know what?
I just want to say, Jen, it has been very nice to see you in the face. I look forward to when I can see you again. And what other part of your private area can I cause harm to in a polite way?
Yeah, you know what? Tossing it back out there for any men who want to be chivalrous, sit on the peppermint toilet for us at the hotel.
Well, I think the whole point is maybe, Leah, don't find a different way to be polite.
Right. I don't want peppermint in my toilet. No. It would definitely burn my butt.
I thought it was a good thing, but it was not.
Yeah, next, well, if we room together in the future, I'll bring poopery. That's like the little spray.
Okay. Can I? Yeah, I do know about that because. Okay. I'm going to make this very short.
Okay.
I do think maybe I've talked about this in the pod. When Poppy was a baby, she came out when I was writing and she had shit all over her face, like white shit all over her face.
Oh, no.
She had taken the poopery in the bathroom and just fucking swigged it. So I had to call poison control. And I'm on the phone with poison control. And they're like, what is it? I'm like, it's poopery. And they're like, potpourri? She ate
poopery.
I'm like, poo! P-O! The poopery!
They're like, she ate poo! The
brand.
And in case anyone is curious, they were like, looked it up. And they were like, the active ingredient in it is some essential oils. It may upset her stomach. She's fine.
Oh, wow. Good to know.
Thank goodness.
But I would be traumatized and would never buy it again.
So don't drink. Don't drink poopery, but if you do,
you'll be okay.
You're still going to be with us tomorrow. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm so glad that she was. What possessed her to drink?
It couldn't have been good.
I mean, what possesses what possesses anyone to, you know, shit in a cat bowl?
So if you are a flirty, cute, baby 20-something year old and you're like, oh, I just got married and I want a baby.
No.
Come sit next to me at dinner.
And me.
Don't have the kid.
I'm just kidding. No, we love our
You children. Can erase that.
Sure.
No. I'm kidding.
We love our
kids. Yeah, we do love our children, but we will always be there to say.
Take some time for you first.
Yeah.
If you can.
You will be dealing with literal shit in ways you've never imagined.
This is true. This is absolutely true. Even if they don't shit in the bowl, there's other ways.
Well, Jen, thank you so much for joining us. It was really, I hope you had a
good. Yeah, I hope you enjoyed this. We enjoyed having you very much. Mm-hmm. It's so nice to see you.
Thank you so much for having me. I had a blast, and thank you for being my very first podcast.
Yay! It was
amazing, and couldn't ask for better people to do it with.
And as I'm interrupting you, as you're trying to be nice to shut it off, why don't you give a plug for, like, what would be if authors were, or people were listening and they were like, you know, I'm really vibing on Jen, really liked what she had to say. What would be a book that you would recommend of yours that you think people should check out?
Well, if you like romantic comedies, I would recommend The Rule Book. And if you like hot firefighter romances, Burning Up would be another one to check out.
All right. So The Rule Book or Burning Up. Although I will say I've read pretty, I think I've read every one of Jen's books.
Yes.
And they're all good. But
thank you.
There's two to kick you off.
And we'll put her information in the show notes.
We'll link to your website in the show notes. You can find all that. But it is Jennifer Blackwood, The Rule Book, Burning Up, and lots more.
Yeah. So thank you so much, Jen. And we will have you on again for sure.
And when we sign off, say Annyeong, which is hello, goodbye mm-hmm. in Korean. So if you would like to Annyeong with us. We'll see you all next time.
I would love to.
Okay.
Annyeong.
Annyeong.
감사합니다. Thank you for listening to Afternoon of Delight. Where can you find us outside the pod? Head on over to afternoonadelight.com. That's afternoonadelight.com. You'll find links to all our social media, our book recs, K-pop and K-skincare recs, and if you want even more Afternoon of Delight, because really who doesn't, you can join our Patreon, where you can choose the patron level that's right for you. Join in daily K-drama conversations, listen to bonus podcast episodes just for patrons, and participate in our monthly live K-drama support group via Zoom. We can't wait for you to be a part of the community. Until next time, 안녕!